Imagine you are a building and every level is a part of your life. Some levels are easy and fun to visit, and we readily include others in them. Some levels are sacred, and we only allow a select few onto them or no one at all. I invite you to see God living and active on every single level. Welcome to 8 Stories Tall, the podcast that explores 8 levels of a person's life. I'm your host, Jason Tomlinson, and in this pilot season, we are featuring none other than my dad, Joe Tomlinson Jr.
Well, here we are, the 8th story. Love, faith, race, creativity, trauma, failure, work, and now parenting. I count myself blessed beyond measure to have sat down with Dad and listened. It has certainly had an impact on me, and I truly thank you for listening and bearing witness. When it comes to parenting, there is no way to talk about my dad without giving a large amount of attention to God's Word, Scripture. Us 4 boys all agree that Dad's biggest win as a parent was the emphasis that he put on having a high view of Scripture. Here recently, before the pandemic broke out in early 2020, I started leading a Sunday school class on the Gospel of Matthew. Of course, the main text was Matthew, but the other book that I used to lead the study was Dr. Jack Lewis's commentary on Matthew that Dad had loaned me from his own collection, complete with his own highlights and notes in the margin. For my part, it was like I was teaching the class with Dad and one of his professors that he revered the most. Such a blessing. All of this is evidence of how Dad raised us, but don't take my word for it. Let's hear the man himself. Dad?
Yeah?
How would you define parenting?
It describes a relationship that a father has with his children. So there is a case of teacher, mentoring, disciplinarian in the best sense of that term, role model, character, accountability, instructor. Joseph was a good father. He mentored Jesus, and Jesus became a carpenter. Mm-hmm. My dad was a grocery store man and somewhat farmer, and a sailor, and later on a federal government employee. Mm-hmm.
A sailor, a soldier.
A soldier, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But parenting is a father training his children through words and examples, yeah, and doing things together. It also involves communication, and that can be verbal and nonverbal, or it's both.
Yeah, yeah.
It's probably some more things to that. There's certainly a God component,
yeah,
yeah, to that.
You became a dad 4 times throughout the 70s and 80s. Folks, if you're keeping score, 72, 74, 77, and 1980. You're talking about 3 states and 1 territory. And even more states than that in which we all were raised. What were some of the values that you held that informed your parenting choices and decisions?
Values like responsibility, stewardship. Me and Eva, through the help of God, created life. So we're there's a threeness here.
Yeah.
Mother, father. You can look at it biologically. Seed, egg, sperma, I think is the Greek term for the father. And then you've got the Heavenly Father who implants both the egg and the sperm. And then it also underscores the Creator God has great confidence in His creation to be responsible parents and loving in the best sense of those terms. Mm-hmm. And they need to be carefully defined and understood.
Yeah. For our listeners, I don't think anybody will be surprised at what I'm about to say. And I don't think you'll be surprised either. This is a blessing, though. Us four boys have been talking on purpose. And across the board, our conclusion is that your biggest win as a dad, and I'm going to borrow from Daniel's wording, but this is what we all said in essence, was the importance that you placed on adopting a high view of Scripture.
Yeah, either Scripture, if it's human opinion, you can dismiss it more or less. But if Scripture is the Word of God, and it does claim to be the Word of God, in fact, the word graphe, it's where we get the English word graphic. Graphe means writings, and it's a library, really. One way to count it is 66 library in terms. And absolutely the highest. Yeah. I have a friend of mine that says the Supreme Court is not supreme.
Mm.
And his point there is that God is supreme, but we only know that we know God from nature, but nature is it's not it doesn't give us the details that Scripture gives us.
Hmm. Where did you get this practice from? Because based on what I know, that's not really how you were raised. How did it come to be that really leading with the Word of God? I mean, that's not a parenting strategy. However, there's no way to talk about how you parented other than you place such a high value on the Word of God, on Scripture. Where does that come from?
I think I'll give my parents and people around me.
Okay.
This is caught as well as taught.
Mm.
I mean, I don't ever remember my mother praying with me.
Mm.
I never heard my mother just say, "Son, I want to lead you in prayer."
Mm.
And I don't think she ever read Scripture, even in public schools. Grades 1 through 4, we memorized Scripture at Clemens Elementary School, which was city, as back when Nashville had county school system, city school system.
Mm-hmm.
But Psalm 23, Psalm 100, Proverbs 22, 1-10, still memorized those. And the teacher would call on somebody to read those passages, and then she'd read them sometimes.
Yeah.
And we had everybody in those classrooms. There were Mormons and Jews and Catholics and Protestants of every sort. And,
wow.
And a lot of us were nothing. I mean, really.
Right.
We hadn't talked through these issues.
Right, yeah.
We knew the Bible was Word of God. Or we gave lip service to that.
Sure, sure. In reflecting about how we were raised, one thing that was brought up was we lived in Dinuba, California from 83 to 85. And during that window of time, you had an appendectomy. During your recovery, part of that was penny school. Can you tell us what penny school was?
I'm having a little.
Yeah.
Penny school, did that involve Bible questions and pennies? And that was in Danuba.
Yeah. And it may have, you may have extended the boundaries to be knowledge in general, maybe. I was in kindergarten, first grade myself, but I know for sure the Bible trivia was part of it. I remember having family devotionals with you and Mom and Daniel, Joel, and Jeremy. And what are some other ways that you put God's Word in front of us?
Well, when you're living and you're driving around and you go to restaurants and you're meeting people, it became a part of you. You clothed yourself mm-hmm. With the righteousness, with the Scripture. It wasn't that you always quoted it. Sometimes you paraphrased it. Mm-hmm. And that's probably as good a way as any. The earliest English Bible translations were paraphrases. Mm-hmm. For instance, the Lindisfarne. There is a paraphrase called the Lindisfarne that came out probably about 750 A.D. Mm. Not many people have heard of them, but we've known about them a long time. Come from Great Britain.
Yeah.
And it appears that some adults had taken some of the Bible stories and paraphrased them so that children could remember them and tell them as stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's called the Lindisfarne Gospels.
Huh.
I'm surprised. I hadn't even thought about them.
Yeah.
But I would say 8th century A.D.
Yeah.
I think that's about the earliest of these scriptures.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of, and we're going to change gears here a little bit, in terms of rules that may be unique, to our family and to your parenting choices and your parenting styles, one of our funny memories, funny because maybe we disagree or maybe we don't understand, is when girls would call the house for any one of us boys, buddy, you better hope daddy don't answer the phone because the young lady is going to get an earful. He would say, we do not encourage young ladies to call our sons. We get it, and we want, obviously, you know, it's funny, we're all married now, and married, you know, decades, and none of the girls that we married were girls that that called us, so maybe it kind of worked out. Was that a practice from your parents? Obviously, I don't, you know, telephones have certainly evolved over time, but where did that rule come from?
I think we were, my own understanding of the forward woman from Proverbs, the aggressive woman,
yeah.
My own experience as a child on Cisco Street, not all the, some of the boys are innocent and some of the girls are not.
Yeah.
I think most of the girls I know are innocent.
Yeah.
But that seems to be a lost skill, a lost reality.
What were some other practices and policies, rules that you and Mom led by that maybe would have been out of the norm?
Out of the norm. I'll give you
an example.
Oh, okay.
Did you guys necessarily have a practice for sleepovers or anything like that. Like, you know, if you didn't know the parents, you know, we couldn't go stay the night at somebody's house, or we couldn't go with so and so, or I don't know. That's not a great example.
Yeah, I think so. We made some mistakes. We thought we could trust some people, only to find out later that we couldn't.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Boys and girls sneak around.
Yeah.
And sometimes their parents are the last to find out.
Yeah.
Inappropriate behavior.
Sure. Sure.
And there's a variety of reasons that can cause that. Maybe the father's older and he trusts his son, but the son really hadn't earned the trust.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if you let your children stay there,
yeah,
because you're trying to help people out,
yeah,
we use the word sin, but they, you know, people make decisions that they are responsible for.
Yeah.
And you find out about them sometimes too late.
Yeah, yeah. Are you aware of any sort of your dad's habits or mannerisms that you brought to your parenting game, either on purpose or accidentally?
Well, let's see. My dad could have had a better relationship with his daddy.
Yeah.
My granddaddy was a good Christian man. He didn't have any what I call notable. He might have been impatient, but my daddy was kind of a strong-willed child, and granddaddy would have to send him to private boarding schools,
mm-hmm,
to get him disciplined, and daddy seemed to resist that.
Yeah.
Sue, on the other hand, was compliant, his sister.
Yeah.
Daddy was more strong-willed. And,
yeah.
And I think at that time, my granddaddy was born in 1892, daddy was born in 1920. Granny was loving and kind and sweet, but that has a tendency to come across as weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes Dobson says that strong-willed kids turn out to be stronger than compliant. There seems to be quite a lot of research that backs that up, in my judgment.
Yeah.
My daddy also liked alcohol and smoked.
Yeah.
And used bad language.
Yeah.
And physically abused my mother.
Yeah.
Mother would do the same to him. She didn't smoke. She drank.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd have to separate them.
Yeah.
That, you know, I think tried to use people that I knew in the local church to help me, but there's not much people can do.
Yeah.
You don't want to take him from his family.
Yeah.
And people respected my grandparents, and
yeah,
to the extent that my mother and daddy always kept a job. We always had plenty of food and clothing and
yeah,
vacations, pretty normal.
Yeah.
Mom and daddy had kind of a, They were religious, but not devout.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's a lot about that marriage that I still am kind of baffled by.
Yeah.
Can't analyze it thoroughly, but people do have to take ownership for their behavior and attitude.
Yeah. I don't know if this question fits in the category of parenting, but did you notice your dad nurturing and maintaining healthy friendships with other men?
Not as much as he should have. However, I have a friend that was, daddy was very close to, Floyd Crook.
Yeah.
Granddaddy nicknamed him Number One because whatever Floyd did, he did a great job.
Yeah.
He was a little younger than my daddy. And they worked for my granddaddy in the grocery store business, delivering groceries in a truck. Mm-hmm. And to this day, Floyd Crook, Number One, is one of my dearest friends. Mm-hmm. And he still talks about my granddaddy and my daddy. And he's always relating anecdotal stories about them. Mm-hmm. That was one man. I know that Daddy, when he was at Lipscomb, had an elder son he was very close to.
Yeah.
When Daddy was 21, he got drafted to the Army.
Yeah.
And, of course, he learned, my daddy was a tough man.
Yeah.
He was not, I don't think he was fearful of anybody.
Yeah.
Obviously, he could be violent.
Yeah.
He was never violent with me. Or yeah. Anytime I need a spanking or a switching or
yeah.
whipping, he was always controlled.
Yeah.
And my mother switched me as much as my daddy, maybe more so.
Yeah.
I used to get switched around my legs.
Yeah.
I probably deserved every one of them. I had a smart mouth sometimes. They wouldn't tolerate disrespect.
Mm.
Of course, a parent has to earn respect.
Yeah.
You don't just demand it.
Mm-hmm.
That only goes so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that you brought that kind of command for respect to your parenting as well, especially in terms of being an advocate for mom and vice versa.
Yeah.
Certainly. As you think about the parenting that you brought to, you know, your parenting game, would Bob Neal also be kind of a parent to you of sorts that you would have brought some of his influence?
Oh, yeah. Daddy loved Bob Neal. Daddy was a baseball player in high school, was a very good athlete.
Yeah.
And his coach at Lipscomb was Bob Neal. And so we lived where Bob Neal was a principal at a Clemens Elementary School. And Bob Neal was, I would call him a parent in absence of my parents at school.
Okay.
He grades 1 through 6, and in the 6th grade, I got paddled by Bob Neal for fighting in Ms. Douglas's 6th grade class with Billy Ray Harris, who also got 10 licks with a wooden paddle. And yeah, we were crying, and but Billy Ray, when he cried, sounded like a baby sister. He just whined and whined, and I kind of enjoyed listening to him whine like a baby. Billy Ray Harris and I were on the same basketball team for several years, junior
yeah.
high.
Yeah.
And his daddy was the chief juvenile probation officer for a juvenile court in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Clark Harris, he was a good man. He always supported Billy Ray Harris yeah. in all of his sport activities. He'd always show up to yeah. encourage it. I always yeah. admired that.
Yeah.
And my dad and mom were the same way with me in high school.
Okay. They came to all the games.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah. Even in Memphis, Chattanooga, Knoxville, wherever we were,
yeah.
Lipscomb went all over the place.
Yeah.
We had probably 30-plus wow. games. Wow. That was a lot for a high school.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. When Mr. Neal paddled you in the 6th grade, did you get another spanking when you came home?
No.
Okay.
I explained to them why me and Billy Ray got into a scuffle in Ms. Douglas' 6th grade class, and
yeah.
She sent me first, and
yeah.
then Billy Ray came along.
Yeah. Wow.
I was 6'1", I might add, in the 6th grade at 12 years old.
So
So I was, when I was in the first grade, I was the tallest one, and they called me Granddaddy Long Legs. I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Folks, I don't know which episode I'm going to post the pictures of Dad as a kid. Maybe, I'm sure by the time this episode airs, they'll be on there already. I'm looking at the table. Dad has produced all of his first through sixth grade pictures, and the jump from fifth to sixth grade is significant. I'm pretty sure he time traveled. he skipped a year somehow and just jumped forward. One thing that I hear in terms of people's pulpits nowadays, and it's a worthy rally. Don't be your kids' friends. Be your kids' parents. Be your kids' parent. Be your kids' dad. And that's one thing you did really well. I never thought you were my friend. in a healthy, appropriate way.
Right.
Was there ever any temptation to back down or to be, less firm, or was that a struggle that popped up on your radar?
No, I would say that as I've gotten older, some people would say I've mellowed.
I would be one of them.
I would say that I'm instead of mellowing, and that I realize that could be a compliment.
Yeah,
I think you treat your children. My sons now are 40 plus.
Right.
And so I'm dealing with, as a 76-year-old or 70-year-old, I'm dealing with children who are now adults who have children of their own.
Yeah.
And there is, I would say, an improvement, a maturity, a relationship. And I see them growing. I see my daughters-in-law growing.
Yeah.
There's always... I guess potential conflict, but if you have some insight, that doesn't have to wreck the relationship.
Right.
Love is tough and tender.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can happen in the same moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that happen. I think it was a fellow by the name of, he wrote about Abraham Lincoln, and I was trying to think of the guy's name. I want to say Carl Sandburg. Yeah.
Okay.
Carl Sandburg wrote and researched Abraham Lincoln, described him as a man of steel and velvet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of tough and tender. I used to write my name as a substitute teacher on the board, Tomlinson, spell it out, but I wanted them to remember that T stood for tough and tender.
There you go.
And it depends on their attitude and behavior.
Yeah.
And speech.
Yeah.
All three of those.
Yeah.
But tough doesn't mean mean.
Right.
Or spirited. It does mean tough. And though we do talk about tough love.
Yeah.
And that's disciplined love. If you just let anybody go, you're not showing them proper respect or love.
Right? Yeah.
You don't let somebody... if somebody's going to try to take their life, I'm going to try to say, hey, you're important to me. And they are.
Yeah.
And you try to reason with them, hey, we can resolve this.
Yeah. One thing that I reflect on as I remember being raised by you, is that, and I don't know if this is the case with the youngest Jeremy as much, but it was the case with Daniel and Joel and me. I felt like as us boys came to be adults, particularly senior year, 18 years old, I've felt like as rising alpha males in succession, we each clashed with you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was ugly, but it wasn't the end of the world. And maybe this happened with Jeremy as well. In terms of relationships ongoing, how do you account for the fact that despite conflict, all four of us boys continue to keep coming back and keep, you know, loving you, being in relationship with you? You know, it's dynamic, there's give and take. It's not perfect. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, and yet we're not isolated from one another.
Right.
Sometimes, and you know, in my circles, I've got friends that are out of relationship with their dads, and it's dysfunction and pain and trauma on both sides. So those relationships are just fried, and you can probably appreciate that if you're thinking about your larger circles as well. How do you account, despite, like I said, dysfunction and despite conflict, how do you account for the healthy dynamic and the relationship all four of us still share with you?
Well, maybe that's where the reality of the invisible, all-powerful God maybe that's where we both try to live a life that brings honor and glory to God.
Yeah.
And that might be the glue, that might be the cement that keeps us pursuing each other. God's always pursuing us.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that humankind pursues God, because that's the problem with the world.
Yeah.
And even in religious communities, pick and choose. No, you take the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, or the part that I like.
Yeah.
So I would say that God has... We keep reaching out to God because we know that He's smarter than us. I like to put it that way.
Yeah.
And He's communicated very well, and He's not finished with us yet.
No.
And it's, I like to say, you know, you can be anxious about God, or you can be excited.
Yeah.
God's not going to tell you everything.
Yeah.
And you don't need to know everything to have a great, fulfilling human experience.
Yeah.
And I'm probably experiencing now, I'm going to say, a lot of joy on the emotional level, but intellectual.
Yeah.
You have to deal with changes. And sometimes you wonder about the changes in others and in yourself, in both.
Yeah.
Hold them in tension.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have a lot of young parents, not so young parents, and tired parents. Tired parents is kind of redundant if you think about it. There's not really another kind if you are actively parenting children.
Well, there is a scripture that says, be not weary in well-doing.
That's true.
That's one translation.
Yeah.
There is a good kind of tiredness.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's God gives sleep.
Yeah. Yes.
The psalmist says, God gives sleep.
Yeah.
To the saints.
Yeah.
To the believer.
Yeah.
Sometimes we wish we had a little bit more.
Yeah.
I didn't go to bed till kind of late last night, and then I got up early.
Yeah.
I just woke up and I started organizing my dresser drawer.
You were ready for getting you were jazzed for the podcast.
I was ready for it. Yeah. I didn't know if I'd be awake or not, but I soon awoke.
Yeah. Folks, just so you know, one of the, I want to say, probably the first Bible verse I ever memorized was, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. I can hear my tiny voice speaking that verse. I think that is really, really telling. And as I reflect on not just dad, but mom as well. Do you have any words of wisdom to impart? Any more words of wisdom to impart on these parents that are hanging on every word you say?
Well, let me see. A lot of things come rushing into my mind. I was going to say, don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
At the same time, you'll get plenty of opportunity to model what you want your children to become.
Hmm.
And you'll take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah.
And so let me encourage you to get excited. The living God is on your side. Mm. And what's critical is you make sure you're on His side. And He will use you and He will make your human life thrilling, exciting. If you're looking for that, and Jesus, I doubt, lived a boring day in His life.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Americans are scared that being spiritual or religious means being boring. Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
And at the same time, there is a place, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. And you don't march to the beat of the world.
Right.
And eternity emphasizes quality as well as quantity.
Yeah.
And so God's not finished with you yet. That means that He is creating through the Holy Spirit. We don't understand all of this, but God in His awesome depth, the divine nature, is eager for you to be conformed into the image and likeness of the new Adam, and that would be Jesus Christ. And it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And it's going to take your cooperation, but God is working in you, and so let Him have His perfect way. And yeah, when you fall down, He'll help you get back up.
Yeah.
If you don't let pride and egotism get in your way.
Yeah.
There is a war, and the war is with the invisible evil one.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, you're standing on the shoulders of great saints, prophets, disciples in every continent. Claim the promises and act on them.
Yeah.
I love Nehemiah. What, 8 and verse 10 or 10? Yeah, 8 and 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
Now, we kind of take that out of context, and I would encourage you to read that in context. People were weeping because they were so struck by their wayward, sinful, hardened hearts.
Yeah.
And that includes the mind, not just emotion. you're guilty of sin even if you don't feel sinful.
Yeah.
Joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah.
And Paul at midnight had been beaten in Acts 16, but they were singing praises to God at midnight.
Yeah.
I want that for everybody that hears my voice. Mm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Love you, Dad.
Love you, son. Keep up the good work.
When I consider my peers who have already lost their dads, my other peers who are estranged from their dads, and my other peers who never knew their dads, I realize how blessed I am. It has been a remarkable, tremendous, and wholly unique blessing to record these sessions with Dad, and I cannot thank you enough for joining me on this journey. And reflecting on the 8 levels of my dad's life, I have come to the realization that he does indeed have a 9th level, and that is friendship. If you have listened to this entire season, you have no doubt heard us make references to Randy Becton, Ed Short, and Buzzy Neal. Randy is in heaven with Jesus, but Ed and Buzzy are right here in Nashville, and I would be doing a great disservice to the truth if I didn't mention the impact all 3 of those men have had on Dad. The Tomlinson family loves all 3 of them. Okay, we've made it through season 1. If you have benefited in any way from listening to these episodes, please tell a friend. And if you have really benefited, then please tell a stranger by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to this. It would sure mean a lot to me, and it would help other listeners find us in the future. Last of all, if you have any feedback for future seasons, then please holler at me at jason@8storiestall.com. That's Jason at, it's the number 8. 8 is not spelled out. 8 stories tall, StoriesTall.com. Email me, jason@8storiestall.com, with your suggestions, whatever you got. For all of you that have listened, I thank you from the bottom to the top of my heart. I've already started working on season 2, and I can't wait to share it with you just as soon as I possibly can. Be well, and don't forget to stand tall.